The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us. I'm on the road filming and doing investigative reporting. Today, we'll be talking about our bodies and healing. I'll be giving you some special commentaries, one from Michael Anderson from Life Extension, one from Kurt Stokel from Life Extension. I'll be sharing a commentary from Lester Brown on our environmental segment of our program, Expanding Deserts, Falling Wet at Water Tables, and Toxins Are Driving People from Their Homes. Our issue of the day, 8.4 trillion hidden profit. Now, who made $8.4 trillion in hidden profit? That will be our issue of the day. My guest in the third part of our program today is going to talk about a follow-up to last evening's program. If you didn't have a chance to hear that hour with my guest talking about how she had a proof and laid that proof out about who was really aware of 9/11, and as I suggested to her, it would seem to me that the most plausible story at this moment was that individuals within important agencies at the highest level saw an opportunity to use the hijackers and their plot as a way of gaining enormous influence in our wars on terror, in effect creating a massive campaign. She supported that based upon the evidence she shared. Well, today, Senator Mike Gravel is going to talk about leading a charge for a new independent 9/11 commission at every state level. By the way, it's interesting how they try to marginalize people to make them look foolish. This is a Democratic U.S. Senator from Alaska from 1969 to 81. He served on the committees of Finance, Interior, and Environment. He also chaired the Energy Committee and participated in trying to stop environmental pollution. In the early 1950s, he was a special agent in the Army's Counterintelligence Corps. And he's also, most people don't realize that, he's the one who's best known for publishing the Pentagon Papers, which led to the litigation of Gravel versus the U.S., resulting in a landmark Supreme Court decision. This is not to negate what the New York Times did, but he also was a part of it. He's now spearheading a new organizational campaign, Citizens 9/11 Commission Campaign. So we'll just give you an update on that and tell you, for those of us who believe that the truth has not come out, what we can do to start the process, that'll be a part of it. We have a lot to share, all of it constructive, all of it different from what we will hear on either the left or the right. Let's begin. I talk a lot about the importance of healthy fats in the diet. And of course, that confuses some people because there's so many different fats. And they assume that every fat or oil they find in a health food store is healthy. That's not necessarily the case at all. What we know is that we need the omega-3 fatty acids, but particularly we need what is the EPA and the DHA. Now, you can get them from fish oils, or you can get them from vegan sources. And if you're an average American, you're eating way too much omega-6 fatty acids. And that can contribute to an increase in inflammation, which can lead to cancer and arthritis and heart disease. Now, there is one omega-6 fatty acid, however, called gamma-linolenic acid, or GLA. I'm sure you've heard the initials GLA. And it does just the opposite. It will turn off inflammation. It can help you if you have eczema, dermatitis, asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, dementia, cancer, and atherosclerosis. So it's a superstar. Now, how do you get this? Especially when the enzyme in the body governing metabolism becomes less active as we age, and we need these oils in order to have a balance in our enzyme levels also. Now, the gamma linolenic acid is just at the top of my list of things that can help us in the body. For example, I have found that behind most disease are environmental stressors that then precipitate inflammation. For example, when you have a pizza, you're taking a series of compounds that are frequently allergenic: wheat, meat, and yeast, and dairy. Then you're taking them to their extreme level of cooking, crusty and pepperoni and heavy melted cheese. All of that changes their normal biochemistry into a biochemical nightmare in the body. Very hard to digest. In fact, for most people, pizza could sit in their stomach for anywhere from 3 to 6 hours, and longer if they're older and lack hydrochloric acid, as many people over 40 do. So that turns on inflammation in the gut, in the colon, and then by leaking into the bloodstream all over the body. When you have something like GLA, gamma linolenic acid, which is plant-based, and you get it in seeds, the best sources, borage, and borage oil is at the top of the list. But we don't get enough borage. In fact, we don't get any borage. I'm willing to bet that if you stopped 100 people walking on the street, not one of them ever takes borage seed oil. So we have the wrong type of omega-6 acids, and we're deficient in the omega-3 fatty acids. That's a terrible imbalance, which means that we're always creating inflammation, and inflammation leads to killing these cells, altering the DNA, and that leads to your cancer and diabetes and dementia. So the older you get, that's even further exacerbated. Now, aging results also in defects occurring in human enzymes. Why? Because enzymes are heat sensitive. They're destroyed when you're processing. But those enzymes are responsible for producing anti-inflammatory molecules from dietary fats. The result is an increased risk of inflammation of all kinds. So when you take GLA as a supplement, you're counteracting the acquired enzyme defects of the average American diet. And instead, you're giving the biological precursors that are going to turn off inflammation. So by converting into beneficial prostaglandin E1, GLA compensates for this deficiency. And the results can be profound. I've seen people I've counseled who had congestive heart failure, water on around the heart or on the lungs, and or emphysema or arthritis. 2 to 3 to 4 weeks on an anti-inflammatory diet with lots of enzymes, and suddenly their symptoms begin to clear up. Autoimmune conditions clear up. Metabolic abnormalities like diabetes begin to correct. Another way that GLA exerts a beneficial effect is to compete with harmful arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is what you get when you have any meat or eggs, specifically the egg yolk, and dairy. It's very high levels of this arachidonic acid that accumulate, and then it's broken down into two toxic byproducts by the enzymes cyclooxygenase 2, or COX-2, and lipoxygenase, or LOX. So those are bad. Now, I'll tell you how bad they are. Do you remember the drug Vioxx that killed 60,000 and caused heart attack or stroke another 125,000? That all happened because people had high levels of these cyclooxygenase 2, COX-2, and lipooxygenase because they were eating the average American diet. So they took Vioxx in order to turn these down, and they died. You could turn them down with GLA because they inhibit these destructive enzymes, because that's what lipooxygenase is. Anytime it ends in ASE, it's generally an enzyme. And hence, when you take the GLA from borage oil, it impedes the ability of arachidonic acid from a hamburger or a hot dog to convert to detrimental inflammatory molecules like leukotriene B4. So, without being too technical, GLA, gamma-linolenic acid, plays an important role in modulating inflammation throughout the body, and that can help your immune cells. So, if you want to turn off the bad gene switches, meaning the switch that will turn on inflammation or turn off inflammation, then this will do it. All right? So, and then it helps with your heart, and it's just terrific. So I would suggest probably 500 milligrams a day. Now, I am going to be doing an in-depth rebuttal to the Institute of Medicine saying once again that vaccines are safe and effective and don't cause autism or anything else. They are wrong, and they have an extremely nefarious reputation. I will go through the report and show you that the media did not do its homework. And even in their report, it does not say anything good about vaccines. But this is something you should be aware of. They don't frequently admit it, according to P.F. Lewis, Natural News. But people get measles outbreaks. The vast majority were vaccinated completely for measles. The CDC and the FDA and other public health organizations tell us that, oh, there's an outbreak or an epidemic of measles. Okay. That gives you the idea that people who have not been vaccinated are responsible for spreading it into the herd, meaning the larger population in the school, for example. One kid comes to school and his parents were the gay communist Symbionese Liberation Army, you know, anything that Glenn Beck or those on the right think that you are if you disagree with, you know, rolling up your sleeve and getting your vaccine. They always throw aspersions. It's always the problem on the left or progressives. It's just insane. But that's the, you know, your kid is irresponsible. You're irresponsible. Do you realize you're bringing our children into? Really? Do you have any proof of that? Here's the latest. If you're old enough, you may remember that measles and mumps were common childhood diseases and chickenpox that came and went. The incidence of death or permanent damage was infinitesimal. In fact, once you recovered from measles, you were immunized for life. I remember having all my buddies over for a measles party or chickenpox party or mumps party. We all got it. We all survived. And we're immune for life. The rate of measles outbreaks began declining during the 1970s, and that was attributed to an increased immunity by those who had measles and recovered, or a decline in the virulence of the measles. But of course, the medical establishment wants you to believe that all infectious disease declines are from vaccines. The opposite is actually factual. It has been well documented and graphed, and we have those on my website, progressiveradionetwork.com. Go and look. There you'll see the most meticulous historical documentation for every disease. And when the vaccine was introduced, you'll see that the disease was anywhere from 95 to 99% gone prior to the introduction of any vaccines. And then we give you a detailed history, country by country, that the vast majority of people, the overwhelming majority of people getting smallpox were vaccinated for smallpox. The largest numbers of death in England, Germany, Italy, and Japan came in the years where over 90% of the population were vaccinated. So it was the vaccine causing the disease. And we show that for other conditions. We also show you that when they improved, for example, in Lower Manhattan, they used to get outbreaks of all forms of disease. Why? What was going on in Lower Manhattan? Well, it was a Jewish ghetto. It was an Irish ghetto. It was an Italian ghetto. And the landlords would allow a dozen or more tenants to pay rent to live in a basement. The trouble was there was no toilets. There was no running water in most cases. So there was 10, 20 people staying in a single room or two, and with no heat in the winter and no cool in the summer, dank and easy for infections to spread. There was no waste removal. There was no septic systems. There was no common clean running water. Once the city implemented those things and banned tenants being used in basements this way, and getting, I think it was 36,000 people out of that area, out of basements. Once they started to pasteurize milk, once, which was a common vector for spreading bacteria from contaminated cows, once they started implementing hygiene, and all this stuff began to improve. So public health was the number one cause for disease being overcome, not vaccines. And it's a matter of record, and you can verify that for yourself, because all the documents, which were public health documents from the countries we have accumulated, Roma Bistrenik has to get credit for doing a masterful several-year project of just doing that. And we did our own independent work, and we put the two together, and it's up on there. So you see the graphs, you see the years, and you see that we've just been lied to, but the average person, the average journalist won't do their homework. The 3-in-1 MMR shot was developed during a decade for convenience. Prior to that, there was one vaccination for every disease. But the 3-in-1 MMR is inoculated on three separate occasions within a few months, usually before 15 months of age. And preteens and teenagers are often subjected to the risky business of being on this schedule. Now, there have been many, and I mean many, public health organizations, including the CDC, as well as others who are fully aware of this. Yet pediatricians convince and school boards coerce parents into making sure their children get their 3 MMR vaccinations in short succession. There's no long-term studies on the safety or efficacy of the MMR vaccine. None. There's no study taking a group that received the MMR vaccine on 3 occasions and a group that did not. So they have no gold standard whatsoever. And medical authorities eager to vaccinate maintain it takes a population vaccination rate of 90% to ensure an immunized disease will not break out within that community. But they have no proof of that. This high percentage was contrived as necessary for herd immunity, which prevent outbreaks from occurring. That has been proven completely false. Basic logic begs the question, why do so many have to be vaccinated if those who are vaccinated are immune? Could it be that the vaccinated are not really immune? For one thing is certain, vaccinating 90% of all populations creates more revenue. In 1984, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report of the CDC reported a late 1983 and early 1984 Illinois high school junior high measles outbreak. Now, this is what's important. The total student population was about 400. 100%, every single student had complied with Illinois state law and received all their scheduled MMR vaccines. But hold on. They had an outbreak. How could you have an outbreak in a herd that had 100% vaccinated? That's what I've been saying. If they were confident that once you're vaccinated, you're protected, then why are they concerned if someone not vaccinated would infect someone who has been vaccinated? Isn't the whole point of vaccine to protect you? So there's just a lack of logic here. So that's just one example, and that's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly. In 1987, PubMed Central reported another public school measles outbreak among 98% MMR-vaccinated population. This happened in another high school, this one in Massachusetts, in early 1984, another population with over 90% vaccination again, and they had the outbreaks in the vaccinated students. University of Helsinki Department of Public Health reported, quote, an explosive outbreak, unquote, of measles in a rural community during 1989. Most of the infected, you guessed it, had been fully vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. Those vaccinated who became infected anyway also managed to spread the measles to their siblings. So much for the nonsense, the quackery, the fraud of herd protection. It does not exist. And if they doubt me, I invite anyone from the World Health Organizations, any pediatrician, come on this show. I have my facts, which are real facts, and you have propaganda. Share yours, I'll share mine. Let the public decide. The World Health Organization reported an outbreak of measles with thousands of European citizens of all ages through 2010. Most of it occurred in France. Here's what Copenhagen World Health Organization official Rebecca Martin said, quote, there has been a buildup of children who have not been immunized over the years. It's almost like a threshold. When you have enough people who have not been immunized, then outbreaks can occur, unquote. Apparently, Brecca is not aware of those earlier reports I mentioned of outbreaks among populations with over 90% vaccination, 100% vaccination, 98% vaccination, and they had massive outbreaks. Nor is she aware of any graphs that show the enormous declines in measles episodes before vaccination appeared on the scene. But she did invoke the 90% rule. Again, these are Mandrians. These are talking heads. They have no sense of ethics, of science. Those who have been scared away from using dangerous vaccines with horrendous side effects just to prevent a short-term mild disease from which recovery confers permanent immunity are blamed. Now, what is scaring people? Could it have something to do with over six times as many MMR vaccine adverse effects reported that cases of measles so far in this year? Keep in mind that all adverse effects are not reported. As little as 2% can be reported. Most are so indoctrinated with the sanctity of vaccines they don't make the connection to their child's turning blue and becoming paralyzed or dead after a series of vaccines. Even former FDA Commissioner David Kessler had on this radio program said, quote, only 1% of serious adverse effects are reported to the FDA. Let me repeat that. Let me repeat that for all the suck-ups out there who, and my God, is this endemic on the left, who believe, they can lie to us and every governmental agency about everything all the time and we'll fight them a man bear case. But boy, we never question them when they tell us to roll up our sleeves or take a med for psychiatric conditions. I guess they're real. The kind of schizoid attitude within the left on these medical issues is palpably corrupt. Let me repeat it again so you really understand what I'm saying. Because clearly, every time it's pro-vaccine time, I hear on one show after another, get your vaccines, get your vaccines. The former commissioner of the FDA, and he was no friend of mine, we debated. David Kessler said, quote, only 1% of serious adverse effects are reported to the FDA, end quote. That means that if you have 10 times more people having adverse effects to measles than you have people who have no vaccine and having adverse effects, then multiply that because it's 1% you've got, you've left out 99%. And more parents are witnessing tragic consequences of the MMR and other vaccines, which include neurological damage, autism, paralysis, chronic illness, extreme colitis, and death occurring shortly after or during a scheduled series of inoculations. And they're reporting their tragic stories to vaccine safety groups and sites and blogs and chat rooms, all of which have been discounted. Not a single parent in America, not one of the 1 million parents in America who have autistic children have been given the credibility that their son or daughter, who is completely normal until receiving the vaccines, are accurate. So all of you who actually joined support groups, all of you who have seen your children normal until they got vaccinated, then went into that full-spectrum autistic disorder, none of you have been given a single bit of credibility. But vaccine manufacturers, the fat cat politicians who work for them, the lobbyists who bring the deals together, the in-the-middle-of-the-night identification clauses that allow you not to be able to sue any vaccine manufacturer, even if it's been shown that their vaccines were knowingly polluted, knowingly contaminated, and knowingly would not protect you or kill you, you still can't sue them. That's how much power they had within the Congress to protect themselves and be fully identified. Hey, if you have a vaccine that's safe and effective, why not do what the heart disease medications and the chemotherapy medications, the psyche medications, and the digestive medications, and the arthritic medications, if you have a problem, you can sue the manufacturer. Why is it the only exception is vaccines? Do you think that maybe they know that the vaccines do not provide the protection? And if they do, why not just ask your doctor, your pharmacist? I'm willing to vaccinate my child, put the child's future health in your hands. Will you give me a written guarantee that if the child is injured or not protected, that he will be compensated by you personally for his injuries? If they really believe in the safety and efficacy and sanctity of vaccines, they should have no problem doing that. Yeah, that's not going to happen, is it? Just the latest on vaccines, and I will have a full report rebutting point for point the Institute of Medicine, which is just the lapdog of Congress, the official medicine, and hence, like everything else official, question it. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment with our guest. Please stay with us. Bring it back. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Let's go out now to Bay Area, California, and say hello to Senator Mike Gravel. I gave you his background earlier, his work on the Pentagon Papers and Army Counterintelligence Corps, his participation as a Democratic U.S. Senator from Alaska on various committees. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Recently, we've had several individuals on this program, and my nature is that I want people to have absolute proof of what they are going to say before they say it. Even with last night's guest, I had them provide legal proof, and then we had this entire discussion. And it was a phenomenal discussion by this former intelligence asset who made claims that she and the group she was working with and their handlers in the Defense Intelligence Agency and the CIA were fully aware of the terrorists who were going to kidnap the passengers and fly the planes in the World Trade Center. She knew the buildings. She knew the date. She knew when it would occur. And evidently, more than 120 others, she said, within different agencies, including the President, Vice President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and Secretary of the Attorney General, John Ashcroft, also knew this. And this was not uncommon. And I suggest the only way that all this could have been done is had there been a knowledge of an attack. And instead of stopping it, which could have happened, instead they saw an opportunity, and then they had a had their own plans, and then that led to what we now call the World Trade. Now, my statement is merely speculative; it's merely a hypothesis, because otherwise, if it were not just the attackers, then why do we have over 2,000 specialists from architects and engineers and physicists and so many others who have found gaping holes in the official investigation. So that's where I'm asking you now. from based upon what you know and your access to individuals and information, do you believe that the information we received in the official report, which is supposed to close this all away and make it go away forever, do you believe we were told the truth? And if not, what parts of the official story are you most concerned are not what the truth?
Of course, Gary, we weren't told the truth. And to we could go to all of these scientists, architects, engineers, who have studied this over the last decade and look at their evidence. And that, of course, tells the story. For me, it was from the get-go. When you have a situation where it's probably the greatest tragedy in the last 100 years in the United States, and it takes 18 months for the president, under great pressure from the widows of those killed on 9/11, to mount an investigation. And of course, what's interesting about the investigation for me is that the chairman and co-chairman, in a book that they've written, said that their work was destined to fail, that the military people who testified lied to the commission. You have several of the commissioners who also admit that the job that was done was less than adequate, and that we should pursue the subject again. So that's just what the people who did the study tell us. So, you know, do we have to go to all these other areas? Because these other areas are extremely interesting as to what happened. You know, with the possibility of controlled demolition, you know, you don't set that up in a day. And so, you know, it's difficult not to come to a conclusion that not only did some people in government know what was going on, but let it happen. How could a country that has spent $1 trillion on defense, and on the day that it's attacked by a group of individuals with box cutters, cause damage and loss of life that was equal to what happened on Pearl Harbor Day and by another nation? These are the things that really raise questions. And then the great tragedy of it all was that, now this was during the Bush administration, and of course what this occasioned were three wars. One war that was, we were totally lied to about, which was Iraq, and this event savaged our civil rights, and also it just has caused damage to the community that has now caused a meltdown. So the economic difficulties we suffer today, the amount of blood that's been spilt with these three wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the war on terror. And of course, the war on terror is nothing more than a device to rationalize the exorbitant expenditures with the military-industrial complex. Now, that was under Bush. Under Barack Obama, the first thing he admits to right after his inauguration is we won't look back. What does that mean? That means you don't want to know what really happened so that you can maybe make corrections, so that you can maybe improve our structure of governance. So it may give us the opportunity to identify criminality and the individuals responsible for it and to bring them to justice. We won't look back. That's like saying we don't want to know what happened in our history. And that's, of course, the policy of the Obama administration. We don't want to know, because what we're going to do is very much the same that was done earlier.
I appreciate that overview. And since you were also on the Finance Committee, could you imagine when you were in Congress and you were serving on that Finance Committee, if what the Obama administration is doing today, where they are getting all 50 states' attorney generals to agree to drop all charges now and in the future of any act that was committed during the last decade by the financial institutions for one lump settlement of $50 billion amongst over 300 financial institutions divided up. That's, I calculated, that's under one day's profit. But without one day, no more investigations, no one from any major bank going to jail, no one going on trial, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Countrywide, they all get out of jail free because of his philosophy of saying, always look forward, never go back. And I'm wondering what that would have happened if this was the end of World War II and someone said, we've got to rebuild Europe, we've got to rebuild Japan, let us go forward with a Marshall Plan, but let us not look back. How do you think that would have gone down with the Jewish population and all the other 40 million who died in just one theater, not including Russia? How do you think that would have gone down? And yet today we're told, I don't care how many Americans, 10 million have lost their home. That's 40 million Americans. How many people are defrauded? No, we're not going to look into this. We're not going to investigate it. We're not going to hold anyone responsible. They're all getting, they're going to pay a small fee, and therefore this case is closed. That same mindset that doesn't want to look at the truth of what happened at 9/11 is the same mindset I keep seeing over and over again. Do we want to hold people accountable for fraud and misappropriations of funds over $40 billion in Iraq? That's the latest figure. No. Are we going to hold anyone in Iraq responsible for stealing $8 billion in actual cash off the C-5 cargo plane? No. Are we going to hold anyone responsible for extrajudicial executions? No. Anyone in the FARCA who engaged in any form of rendition or torture? No. So right now, Senator Gravel, I see that we have become as close to a totalitarian state as we have had in our country's history. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I couldn't agree more with what you're reciting. But this is so characteristic of the people who control government that they don't want to look back because they don't want to shackle themselves to commit the same policy errors over and over again. I'll give you an instance of something that you may or may not know of, Gary, and that is an instance where three times the number of people that died on 9/11 were wantonly killed. They were Americans. Most people don't recall that when we negotiated the armistice at the end of the First World War, it was signed at 5 o'clock in the morning. At 11, and in the armistice, all activities, all shooting was to stop at 11 o'clock. So between 5 and 11 o'clock, what happened? 10,000 Americans were slaughtered and killed by generals who continued to send them over the top when they knew the armistice had been signed. Now, this was an event that was brought to light by the wives and widows and mothers of soldiers who, when they found out that their sons were killed in France, between 5 o'clock and 11 o'clock, they made inquiries, well, how could this happen? The war was over. The armistice had been signed. Well, an investigation was done by the Congress, and it was hushed over immediately after finding these facts out that, oh, we can't have anything that besmirches the triumphalism of our role in the First World War. And that includes Black Jack Pershing. And so these were the generals that committed this crime, and it was totally hushed over. And that was over 10,000 American soldiers that were sent needlessly to their death. Now, so is it any wonder that we now have politicians in office, our political leaders, the elites that control them and back them, that sustain what you just described about letting everybody who is party to which is a criminal act. The meltdown of the United States economy literally was a criminal act, and nobody is being brought to justice. And now, as you point out, efforts made are being made to absolve, to pardon. You know, the president has pardon capability, but now this passing a law is just beyond the pale of not holding our leaders. These leaders, not just political leaders, but bankers, corporate leaders, I mean, they're autocrats. We love to talk about the autocrats in other countries, like in Russia, but we have it here, and it's not even recognized. So, no, the pattern of the actions of our political leaders is consistent with our historic pattern of generals, politicians, captains of industry, not being held responsible for the consequences of their acts.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go into what you're doing in a second here, but as a special agent in the Army's Counterintelligence Corps, I'm quite sure that when we look back and saw and know, and it's a matter of historical proof because of Freedom of Information Act, by the way, which was Ralph Nader's law. He gave us Freedom of Information Act, that we found out that the Gulf of Tonkin episode was a false flag episode, which led us into Vietnam and over 3.3 million casualties, 63,000 or about 61,000 more Americans. No one was ever held accountable for that false flag. Who set that up? Once again, we keep doing these stupid things, just like with 9/11 and with going into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. We refuse to prosecute those who have been responsible for causing the death and suffering of untold numbers. Now, here's what I want to get to. You've done something unique, and I commend you on that, and that's why I've invited you on. You're leading Massachusetts initiative campaign for a new 9/11 commission, and it's a national organization led by Senator Mike Gravel. He's announced a campaign for a ballot initiative that would authorize a new investigation of the events of 9/11 that would be vested with grand jury powers. And remember, he's a two-term senator from Alaska, and he was 2008 presidential candidate. And I think that he should be out there because, like Ron Paul, he's not afraid to speak the truth. Whether we like or disagree on all the different facts is not the issue. There's so few politicians, and none right now, that I would otherwise have any confidence will do anything to get us out of wars, to stop the Federal Reserve from printing countless trillions to its friends, and all the other crimes and misdemeanors they are engaging in. Anyhow, this particular 9/11 commission, here's what it would have. This is short, so please bear with me, because it's important you know what it is he's doing and why this is important. This is to be enacted. This is to create a Citizens 9/11 Investigation Commission. And again, it's the Citizens 9/11 Investigation Commission. It, quote, be enacted by the people and their authority. Section 1 shall be known and may be cited as the Citizens 9/11 Investigation Commission. Now, what is this supposed to do? All right, here's the meat of it. The commission shall investigate in a fair and impartial manner the circumstances of September 11, 2001, including the events leading up to and the events that occurred in the aftermath of September 11th. They shall investigate the destruction of the World Trade Center Towers 1, 2, and 7 in New York City, the attack on the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, the crash of United Flight 93 near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq by the United States, the global war on terror, and any other issue the commission deems relevant and necessary to its duties, functions, and powers. The commission shall consider the findings and the shortcomings of the findings of any previous investigations of the events of September 11th and the events leading up to and occurring after September 11th, the National Commission on Terrorist Act upon the United States, and the Joint Inquiry into Intelligence Community Activities before and after the terrorist attacks on September 11th. And then the commission shall produce a written report detailing the commission's investigation finding. The report shall be described any criminal activity, including a war crime or crime against humanity, any individual or corporation that unduly profited from the events investigated by the commission, any other malfeasance and other perpetrators, the malfeasance, and any other findings made by the commission. A copy will go to the governor, the chief justice, the Supreme Court and the legislature. The commission shall complete all the commission's duties, functions, and powers, conclude its investigation, complete delivery of the written report no later than January 1, 2015, and then it shall be dissolved no later than February 1. And then it goes into some of the specifics. Do I believe this is necessary? You bet. Do I support an independent investigation where all those people who've had something to say, the architects, the engineers, the structural engineers, the intelligence agents, the people who knew that Mossad had knowledge, that all this, you bet. Get them under oath and then see what the truth is, and then let the public know what the truth is, and then with the public knowing the truth, then we can move history forward. So that's what you're up to. I commend you, and we want to get this going. Please tell us, in your final thoughts here, how can people become involved?
By going to our website, which is 9-11cc.org. This is, as you point out, is a needed undertaking. It's a great idea, but unless the idea is properly funded, it won't take off. We need people to make donations so that the cost of doing it in Massachusetts is going to be more than $200,000. We're going to do this also in Oregon, and that will be more than $200,000. We're setting up a national organization that needs to be funded with staff. That all takes money. And so if you want to see justice done when obviously the government has no interest in bringing about justice, if you want to see justice done, then we have to be able to fund a citizen's investigation of all of this terrible tragedy. It needs your financial support, and we can receive monies throughout the nation. And of course, for the educational aspect of it, we can also receive monies from corporations and from abroad.
Okay,
the website? The website, again, is 9-11cc.org. That is the website where people can go and contribute by PayPal, or there's an address there you could send a check. We have to have a cash flow between September and November that will fund the enactment of or putting it on the ballot in the state of Massachusetts, to the tune of $100,000 to $200,000.
All right. Well, now, we will do what we can.
The key thing, Gary, is that the creation of this law sets up a joint powers agreement so that you can enact this in other states, and also these states would bring to the table their grand jury powers, the ability to subpoena, the ability to place people under oath. That's the key to the investigation.
Great. I wish you all the best on this. I'll certainly contribute out of my own pocket. And we need this commission. We need the subpoena power of a grand jury. We need for people to come out from the rocks they hide under in our intelligence agencies and say, national security, I'm not going to say anything. We need to have the truth. And we have enough independent experts. We have at least 2,000 people who have evidence to support a challenge to the existing, and then you get the Danny Schechters and others who have the information on the lies that got us into the Iraq war. Lots of information. All the best. We will look forward to updates along the way, okay?
Thank you very much, Gary, for having me on and being able to make this push for justice.
I appreciate your efforts, Senator Mike Gravel. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. We're going to come right back. I'm going to go right back to the program because we have so much more still to cover. But let's make that our issue. I believe we should have a 9/11 commission, so that we can bring together the best forensic experts, those people who have been given no opportunity to testify originally, and those whistleblowers and others who can come forward and show us the truth so we can at least honor all those who were traumatized, killed, or in any way adversely affected, which a lot of people from 9/11 to know the truth. And almost everybody knows now we were not given the full truth. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now let's go into our studio in New York and say hello to Jason. I also see that we have Richard Polonesky. Let's say hello to Richard first. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Gary, we have a very, very special event, some people may know of, coming up on September 21st. And it's a social activism event, and that event has just gotten a whole new dynamic to it.
Oh, let me explain this. Yeah, this is early this morning at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock this morning, I was on the phone with one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most significant progressive minds in America. And we were talking about why is it that so many efforts, marches and speeches and against things that are wrong, never get a life. They don't carry on. Nothing ever changes. And we wanted to do something so different that we really had a chance to make a difference. So we have changed things around. So here's where we are today. We're going to have an event on September 21st. But it's going to be different than what I've told you up to this point. How so? We're going to start at 7 o'clock with a panel talking about how we can close Indian Point Nuclear Facility. We're going to focus on one plant. Then we're going to have Professor Vandana Shiva and Greg Palast and Professor Carl Grossman. We're going to have all the, and other people and some solar flare specialists showing why Indian Point is at risk. Why, now that we've had, look, you all got a wake-up call. This audience, remember, I've been telling you that it's not are we going to have disasters, it's when. 2 years ago, I told you that we're going to have flooding in this part, and it would only take a Category 1. Well, we had a Category 1, not even a Category 1 over much of the area, and look at the disaster that happened to so many people who are near the water and who didn't think about having any of the protections I've been telling you to have. And then look at Indian Point. Never have an earthquake, not possible, until it did. Do you remember I said that they never thought in these other communities there'd be a problem till it was? Now, you combine two catastrophic situations in 1 week, that should be a wake-up call that Indian Point is simply not sustainable. So that's the first thing. We're going to show you what we're going to do and unite in closing 9/11. But we're not going to show the film Knocking on the Devil's Door. You're going to be given a copy of the film. Yes, a copy of Knocking on the Devil's Door. You can watch it at home. What you are going to get, and this is what's new, is you're going to see the world premiere of my newest film, Death by Medicine. Death by Medicine is going to premiere one night only at the Ethical Culture Center. It is the most winning, award-winning documentarian effort in the world this year that I'm aware of. I think over 50 almost now. All the big ones, like Houston Film Fest and Cindy's, etc. Hoboken International Film Festival and Los Angeles International. This is it. Not only that, but I'm also going to give you a copy of that film and a copy of my brand new book, which won't even be out for another week, called Death by Medicine. So you're, and then there'll be a panel discussion after that. Why? Because some people have already seen, over 1,200 people have already seen Knocking on the Devil's Door. This way you have no one has seen Death by Medicine. So first we get the panel. So we deal with closing Indian Point and hearing from these great speakers, and you get a copy of the film. Then we take a 10-minute break. Then we start and show you Death by Medicine, the feature film, and you get a copy of the book and a copy of the film. So you're going to walk away with two films, two different films, a book, all for $25, plus the best panelists on anti-nuclear in the United States, around the world, all in one night. This is a super activist, super call to action, super social changer evening. We've never done anything like this, and we believe that combining these issues, I'm also going to have some of the world's leading holistic physicians, holistic nurses, holistic dentists, holistic chiropractors, holistic nutritionists, all there. Give a call now, 877-627-5065. It's just $25. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. This is going to be sold out today. It is the film Death by Medicine, showing you everything is wrong and how dangerous American medicine is by people from inside the field. This is the film that's been winning all these awards. Death by Medicine will be shown. A discussion afterwards, but prior to that, a full discussion with the world's leading anti-nuclear authorities, giving you the latest things, including recalls in 38 states. Politicians support pro-nuclear. We're going to go after them and recall. And so that's first a break, and then showing Death by Medicine. You get a copy of the book, Death by Medicine. You get a copy of the film, Death by Medicine. You get a copy of the film, Knocking on the Devil's Door. Two different films, a book, watch a film, and have a workshop for $25 at the Ethical Culture Center. Call now, 877-627-5065. Richard, over to you.
Well, thank you, Gary. Now, this is an incredible opportunity, and also, you know, not only this is a very rare opportunity to see all these experts assembled in one place, and then to see the world premiere of Death by Medicine, and then to get not only the book but the two DVDs. You know, I don't know how you can afford to do this.
Well, because I'm funding it. I'm
right.
Picking up all the money.
Right.
Because I believe that we need to go forward, and we need to go forward on several fronts. And this is an evening for activists. This is an evening for people who can handle two issues, and they're both connected. The fact that we're sicker than we've ever been in our history, the fact that we have more diseases, killing more people, injuring more people, and medicine is the number one cause of death and illness, or death and injury in the United States. Nothing's being done about it. Nuclear is just waiting to happen. We don't know, but when it does, I don't want to be the person that says, gee whiz, I should have paid attention to Gary. Why didn't I? I could have done something. So it's an evening for activism. It's an evening for social consciousness. It's an evening to do something positive, to become aware, to become educated, to become informed, become a part of something that is positive instead of something that is depressing, that's lethargic, that resigns to a level of impotency. We want people to do something positive. Thanks a lot, Richard. And again, all you have to do if you want to join us is going to be a full evening of social activism. Full evening. You'll come out of there with your head spinning. You'll see a phenomenal film, Death by Medicine. You will see, and you can see the trailer by going up on GaryNall.com. You're going to have one of the greatest panel discussions ever on an anti-nuclear, by anti-nuclear activists to go after people. You're going to have some of the leading holistic physicians, nurses, dentists, chiropractors, nutritionists, homeopaths in America there, and I'll introduce them before we show Death by Medicine. Many of the people in the film will be there. So it's going to be one phenomenal evening. So this way, you won't want to miss this. And again, as you saw, every single seat and every single showing was sold out of Knocking on the Devil's Door. This is only one night. This is one night, one theater, but a beautiful theater. Up near 900 seats at the Ethical Culture Center, big screen, stage. It's going to be wonderful. So this is what we came up with early this morning, and we put it into effect. So give a call now, 877-627-5065. And let's say hello to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Just quickly talking about September 21st, we also have some seats to donate for the following people. If you are an educator, a principal, a high school teacher, a college instructor, we are giving you and one of your students an opportunity to come for free to see this great event.
Okay, this was a we're allowing a number of students, not a lot because we just don't have the seats. But if you are a school teacher, high school teacher, or a college teacher, and you would like to bring a limited number of students as our guests, because I want the younger people in high school and college to know these issues. I want to know about nuclear. I want to know about what they should do and can do. They'll be given a copy of the Knock on Devil's Door to take back into their schools to show it. But also I want them to know about why so many of the kids around them have been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and are on Ritalin, and why there's an epidemic of diabetes and the kids they know, and this isn't normal. So they're going to get a double education this evening. So we're setting aside a number of seats as a public service to help them. So you'll call Jason if you're a school teacher or a college teacher, instructor, and you will give him your name and background, and then you'll call back after you speak with some students and just select those students who really want to learn.
Excellent.
Jason, give your number, please.
646-926-5428. Again, 646-926-5428.
Thank you, and I want to thank all of you for listening, and for those of you who listened last night, I realized that some of you couldn't get on. We have never experienced so many people trying to download a show and listen live as to our progressive commentary hour on that 9/11 guest I had last night, that it literally ran out of space. We didn't anticipate the numbers of people. So you can go now. We've expanded our web, our bandwidth again to unprecedented levels. You can go now, and it's up there. It is up there now, isn't it, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can go to progressiveradionetwork.com and download last night's Progressive Commentary Hour. Sorry that you couldn't get in. All of you couldn't get in last night. We had to turn thousands away. Sorry, but we just didn't know that many people would show up. I mean, you can't imagine the numbers. I won't even tell you the numbers of how many people showed up trying to get on last night. It just is mind-boggling. But I want to thank all the people out there who are tuning in every day and downloading the shows. Have a nice day, everyone.
Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Jason Tappenfeld. To have.